All right. So Stephanie, what do you have to say to people out there that are feeling that call in their heart that this is what they're here for? They came for this time in some kind of an evolutionary service consciousness way.
Mm-hmm. So the first thing I would say is that if you are an individual who feels that truth within themselves, then you are also an individual who has all of the information that you need within yourself to fulfill that path, to fulfill that role. I think that, you know, just because we came here to help and to assist doesn't mean we got a free pass to being human. Like, we didn't. So we obviously have to live out and experience the humanness of it all. And that definitely brings its own unique challenges and, you know, things that we have to experience and work on for ourselves. But ultimately, if you feel like you came here to help and to be of service and to be a part of this change, then you already, the truth is, you already have everything inside of you that you need to do that. And as long as you are taking responsibility for yourself and acknowledging how you are accountable to the collective, and how your piece of the puzzle is just that, a piece of the puzzle, a special piece, but still a piece nonetheless, then the only thing that you have to do is to live your life out loud as well. Like, we will all know when we are living out what we came to live out, whether it is felt through vibration or frequency or resonance, whatever it is. Everyone, I've not met a healer yet or a helper yet that was living their life and didn't know if what they were doing was helping or working. If you're at that point and you don't know, then it's just most likely that you are at a point in your own spiritual being human process that is still working itself out. And I don't think that any end of the spectrum is greater than or less than another, because the truth is there are always eyes on us. We would not have chosen this role if we didn't have what it takes energetically to show up, and that having what it takes energetically is going to catch people's eyes. It's going to draw attention even whenever you think that no one is watching. So I think really the greatest piece of advice that I can share is that living your life out loud and taking responsibility for yourself and your own process is the ultimate way of showing up in the role that you came to show up in.
Was there a moment or a certain point in your life when you felt like you were living your life as your soul, when that had aligned for you, like your personality, self, career, whatever, you know, expression of being physical and your soul was aligned? Did that come together in a moment that you realized?
Definitely not a moment. It has been a process. Because every experience that I've had up until this point has brought a piece of me back online. Mm-hmm. And so there has never been a moment where I was like, oh, well, this is it. I'm all here now. Like, the idea that I would ever be done being who I am in this human experience, in this human form, that idea has never cross my mind. It's very tempting. Of course, we all love the idea that we can just like do, and eventually we will achieve doneness. But I just personally don't think that's a thing.
No. No, and that, of course not. Like, it's definitely a spiral. I was just wondering, like, if there was a culminating moment, you know, that felt, you know, like, or a, not even so a moment, a period of time that felt like I'm more integrated as my soul than I've ever been.
I definitely know what you're asking. It's just, I don't think that I, you know, usually how it works for me is I will go through an experience, whether that is a one moment experience or a 10-year experience. And then usually in the reflection on that experience, I will, or the reflection on myself, I will see how that experience changed me or how that experience brought more of myself out. It's definitely not a comfortable thing to look at it all the time, because I think that especially being someone who feels so deeply, the temptation to numb that or the temptation to hide such intensity is great. So it's not always comfortable to look at that. But I think it's more of a, I think over the years, it's definitely been more of a kind of like following the crumbs. Mm-hmm. You know, like a feeling will arise or a sensation will arise or knowing or an intuition will arise. And I'll pick that crumb up and I'll say, huh, this is going somewhere. And then I'll follow it. And then there will be another and there will be another. And I definitely feel, like the majority of me is online. Just tapping in and tuning in and feeling how much of me shows up on a daily basis. I can feel such an immense difference from whenever I would say that I, you know, really set out to reclaim and return to myself. I can feel a huge difference. The biggest thing now is that, even though I'm living my life out loud, I still, what's the word? I still tailor how loud I am. I am living my life out loud, but I'm not as loud as I think my fullness would actually like to be. So that's how I would say it.
Well, that is exactly why I brought you back, because I just want you to be as loud as you want. And anybody who was, you know, intrigued by our first conversation, there are just so many beautiful facets of the things that we share and the ways that we're growing side by side, that I wanted to talk about all that in just like a totally uncensored, no holds barred, whatever you want to talk about. You know, this is going to be like a more exclusive offering.
Okay.
So, I was off social media for like almost 5 years. Mm-hmm. And we are just close, like no matter how long we go without seeing each other or whatever, like you're just always like right in my heart. But I hadn't seen your, you know, like I hadn't been connecting with you on social for that long. When I got back on, it was right around the time that you were really taking a stand about Standing Rock, and you were going out there and you were passionate and you were sharing and you advocate for justice and all the things that I love and believe in and stand in support of. And I want to know from that time of Standing Rock, how your perspectives have changed and what you've learned since that point.
I think injustice is one of those things that just really grinds my gears and has been a huge point of awareness for myself over the past probably 10 years of my life, I would say. I think that I needed to experience such deep-seated anger and rage at the idea of injustice and at the actuality, the realization, the reality of injustice, on so many different levels. I mean, there's, throw a rock and you will hit injustice somewhere. You know, it doesn't matter what aspect of the human experience you're looking at, there is injustice. And the reason that that is because there is injustice within us. And again, you know, a lot of times I think, I hope that my commitment to action balances out the more heady, airy, spiritual words, because it's very easy for, quote, spiritual folk to say things like, well, the injustice is within us. That's why it's outside of us, and not back it up, and not back it up. Like there's no action behind the word. There's no, like, that's where it ends, you know? And so my hope is that as I say these very pleasant sounding airy things, is that people realize that both are true, that it is the injustice that we allow to survive and thrive within ourselves and our own individual lives that contributes to the injustice that we see in the, quote, world that we see in front of us. And because of that, that awareness demands action. I don't think that all awareness demands action. I mean, that alone would be an incredible conversation to have, you know, with a group of people, because I don't think that everything that we are aware of is within our control. And I think that's the defining line, is that if there's something I can do to aid in that after I have taken care of it within myself, then I'll go do it. But I'm not called to be everywhere at once. That's why we're all here. Like, we are all part of the one. We are all part of the whole. And we are all individually in our own aspect of this experience so that we can address what is in our lives and what we're seeing in the world. Because what I see isn't going to be the exact same thing that you see. And so we have this really powerful opportunity to address the injustices that are real in our lives and in our communities. But our communities aren't all the same. And so for me, what was going on in Standing Rock, I mean, I live in Colorado, so it was maybe a 12 or 13 hour drive. I can't remember how long it was, but we definitely did it in one day. So it was feasible for me to get in the car and drive up to the Dakotas. So I think at the time, it wasn't even about water. It wasn't even about the pipelines. It wasn't even about oil. It wasn't even about corporate greed. For me, it was the mere fact that there were people up there who this directly impacted their lives, their health, their livelihood, their children's lives. And they were putting, like, they had no choice but to put their life on the line. And I wanted to go to support those people. I wasn't going to riot. I wasn't going to protest. I wasn't going to hold signs or do whatever. I went and offered massage and body work for, I want to say, 5 days straight, all day, every day, to the people who were on the front lines. Because that, for whatever reason at that time, is what spoke to me as a way that I could not only bear witness, because I think taking the role of the witness is extremely powerful in healing and affecting change in our world, but also to show up and just be, you know, a set of hands that said, I care. I care about what is going on in your life at this time. And since then, I still get pretty fiery about injustice, but I have taken more of an internal approach to that. I am looking at the ways that I show up for injustice outside of myself, but not injustice within myself. And so I have definitely, I go through these periods of very externally focused and then very internally focused. I am, these words aren't going to do it justice, but I'm an intense person. I view myself to be an intense person. And for me, the lessons, the experiences that I have in my life, they tend to be intense as well, because that is the language I speak. Whether it's intensely good, you know, whatever, good, bad, whatever, whether it's intensely one end of the spectrum or intensely the other end, I very much am a full spectrum person. And I like to play on the edges of that spectrum. So I am either very outspoken or very, you know, inside myself. And on social media, my shares tend to reflect that. I think I've been a little bit more in the middle lately. But yeah, I think that, you know, because I'm taking what is going on in our world and really allowing it to penetrate me and to fill me up so that I can return that experience to love, so I can merge that experience with love again, because ultimately I feel like that's the only way that we have true transformation and healing. As I take those external experiences in, what comes out of that distillation process, you know, are the type of posts that I have been sharing lately, the type of things that I've been sharing, which are just basically my thoughts and what feels alive for me, and is definitely on a more, I don't want to say deep, but I want to say deeper level. It definitely is a more introspective level, though, for sure, because that's just where I am in my life right now.
Yeah. And I like it. I like it that your posts take on all the different facets of all the different beautiful levels of you. And I like that one. Speaking of fiery and intense, I like that one where you were like, well, I haven't told you all for a while how I feel. Let me break it down. Like, this is my bullet points.
I'm that one was pretty intense too. I just, like I said, I just get in these moods and I'm like, in case you wanted to know, and then I just dump it.
Well, I like read those and I'm like, woohoo, yeah. But like for people who maybe haven't done the research or uncovered a lot of what you've uncovered and that you so graciously share, how in the world did you start thinking out of this narrative of what is like this most popular narrative that's happening right now in our country?
Yeah. Well, it really, honestly, it comes back to personal responsibility. And I think that even in our first, talk, I discussed personal responsibility and collective accountability. At the end of the day, if someone comes to me and says, why did you do what you did? The only person responsible for my choices is me. So no, I'm not going to turn the TV on and look at the news and say, oh, so-and-so thinks I should live my life this way. Because at the end of the day, so-and-so is not going to be held responsible for my decision. And I can't in good conscience, or is it conscience or conscience? Conscience. Yeah. I can't in good conscience say, well, so-and-so told me to. No, I'm an adult. I'm an adult who is able to practice critical thinking and decide for myself where I stand on a topic. And even, you know, I've said this before, I have a lot of thoughts and very few beliefs. I think it is hard. I think anyone would be hard pressed to really say that they know, you know, any amount of things for certain. Like, to say that is to create your own box, and that's totally fine if you want to go off and create your box of what you believe reality is. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to come back to yourself and be honest and say, you know, we really only know what we know. We can't know what we don't know. So I think everyone, for the most part, is doing the best that they can to figure out how they feel. And I already know how I feel. I don't need to go along on anybody's roller coaster ride to know how I feel about something. And so I think also, whenever it comes to thinking outside of the box, whenever a person has experienced psychological or mental trauma to the point that they were questioning their reality, whether they had been lied to for a really long time or, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, but anyone who has been through this experience knows what I'm talking about. If you have ever had to question your reality, you, most of those people know that from that moment on, they'll never be the same. You can never just go back to not questioning.
I agree completely.
You can't unknow. Yeah. You can't unknow what you know now. You can't force healing, and you can't undo healing. You can't force awareness, and you can't undo awareness. And so for me, I have gone through those experiences in my life where I, for my own mental, emotional, and physical well-being, I had to question the lies that I was being told. I had to question the reality and the narrative that was being fed to me. And so I've always, even as a child, I mean, I always gravitated towards topics that were uncomfortable for most to talk about or think about. And I think that once you start questioning, there definitely is, you know, a way to fine tune how we question, because there's such thing as getting lost in the rabbit holes or getting lost in the questioning of reality. But I think that the vast majority of people have not fallen down enough rabbit holes and found their way out in order to actually practice critical thinking like they think that they are. Because if they had, they would realize that they know far less than they think that they know.
Absolutely. And I'm grateful for coming out of growing up in a programming that was this really, really hardcore brainwashing, and being able to lift up out of that and have my mind blown and have my whole reality shattered and bounce back from that. Like, where my best friend, not my best friend, just a friend of mine who was a Jehovah's Witness and then was shown some things other than that, and he could not mm-hmm. come back from it. He took his life because in not in a place of choice, you know, conscious choice. He mm-hmm. took his life in reaction to, like, the fabric of my existence has been torn. Mm-hmm. I can't come back from this. And so mm-hmm. I'm grateful, because every day I realize where I don't believe what I once did, and I expand, and I love that. I'm excited for that to be wrong. Mm-hmm. And so it's very healthy, I think, to hear your lack of beliefs in a lot of different ideas and opinions, but not so many of those well-worn habitual paths in our brain that that shut us down to other alternatives.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, a lot of people have beliefs that they're unaware of, and those beliefs inform the narratives that they choose to listen to. And I think that whenever you are at a point where you stop feeding any one narrative all of your energy, it becomes much less about the narrative and more about where do we want to go from here. And that's what I'm doing. Like, that's where I'm at. I'm just like, whenever you guys are done talking about freaking masks, whenever you guys are done talking about this topic, that topic, this topic, that topic, meet me here and let's talk about where we're going from here. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, this attaching to a narrative as a solution, that's not a solution. A solution is taking all vantage points, all perspective, all eyes on deck, and then coming together and saying, this is where we need to be going. You know, I find it fascinating, and this is not a topic I know very much about, so I'm just going to drop this there, but I find it fascinating that our society is latched onto this germ theory idea right now, and that, you know, this idea that, you know, bad bugs outside of you come into you and make you sick. That's why we should all do A, B, C, D, and E right now, and why everybody's up in arms. But meanwhile, we've got terrain theory sitting right there behind germ theory being like, whenever you guys are ready, let's talk about what you can actually freaking do to to make your body a space that those bugs don't survive in. And so it blows my mind. Cause like I said, I have zero like training around sciencing and biologying. I have zero training, but my intuition says, my awareness, my energy field says, well, it doesn't have to be that way. So whenever you guys are done arguing over who should wear masks and who shouldn't, let's go over here and look at something that everyone is discounting, and let's have a conversation about that. Because that's what happens whenever we get stuck in these narratives. We get stuck in these mental traps of, oh, everyone says this is the problem, so we should do this. And so for me, taking full responsibility for my personal actions and myself does not look like wearing a mask. It looks like completely cleaning out my inner terrain so that it doesn't matter if I came in contact with 50 things. They're not going to survive in here.
And that's empowering.
You know, they're not going to live in here. And that's a totally different mindset to have. That's a totally different, I am sure beyond a shadow of doubt that I have come in contact with the C word, with COVID in the past, I mean, since March, there's no doubt in my mind. But because of the level of responsibility that I take for my physical, mental, and emotional being, there's that virus is not going to survive in me. I can still have compassion for the people who are still figuring it out for themselves, for the people who this experience has brought pain and trauma on all the levels. I know there are a lot of people that are really afraid right now. I know there are a lot of people that are not afraid, but just want to be a part of the solution, and they have no other ideas of what solution looks like.